Welcome to No More Booze, the podcast. I'm Olivia Farrelly, and in every episode, I explore the role that alcohol has in our lives. I interview people who have decided to live their life with no more booze. We'll explore their relationship with alcohol, how it made their life better, how it made their life worse, any lessons they've learned along the way, and what advice they would give to others who are contemplating a life without alcohol. So whether you are sober curious, you're sober serious, or you're already living your life alcohol-free, this podcast will provide inspiration and motivation as you begin to untangle and reassess your relationship with the booze. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to No More Booze, the podcast. We have a great friend of the pod back. It is Lose the Booze with Suze. You don't know how much pleasure it gives me to say that, Susan Hodgson. You're welcome back. How are you?
Thanks, Olivia. Great. Thanks. Yeah.
And I think that kind of embodies your personality. You're a great crack. I think Lose the Booze with Suze is very... it's a real fun, playful kind of way to look at losing the booze, because I don't know, sometimes it's a bit serious when we talk about losing the booze.
It can be. We're always talking about this great, huge, big thing in our life, which is, I mean, it can, it brings like a huge change, but, it's a lifestyle, not a sentence to, forever be.
Exactly. Not a prison sentence. Do you want to remind the listeners who you are and when you were on the pod last? And actually, the biggest thing that I remember from you on the podcast the last time, actually, I'll leave it for a bit into the chat, but you stuck with me a huge amount, and I have really reflected on what you said. So let's go back to who you are and what you do.
I'm Susan. I'm from Donegal, and I live in France at the moment. And I'm like menopausal mom of three, just trying to hold it all together like everybody else. And I've just done my fifth Christmas and New Year's without drinking. So an accomplishment, I think, in itself. I'm 5 years alcohol free, and I help the ladies cut back and quit the booze.
Lose the booze.
Yeah,
amazing. And actually, what we're going to talk about today is dry January. So we're at the end of dry January now, but looking forward, how do we sustain this? So, if you want to extend your dry January, it's been 31 days, how do you extend it to maybe 100 days? Or if you didn't succeed from the dry January, how do we then, I suppose, reaffirm goals and maybe have a look at changing and sustaining change as well? So that's what we're kind of going to get into today, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, dry January, it's always a big deal, dry January. It's like, you could just get back from Christmas and it's like if January were a person, it'd be like your school bully or something, you suck, you're fat, yeah, you're ugly, your life's a mess, start it out now, and then you have people like you and me saying, well, what you really want to do now is, give up the booze. And power on through this January month and get to the end and either yes, I did it, hooray, what now? Or it was up and down, or you didn't manage what you wanted to do, and it feels a bit like it's all a bit vague. What am I supposed to do now? And there is no 100% correct answer. Do you know what I mean? You get to February and it's like, well, how do I feel? What happened? What did I learn? What do I want to take forward? Or, if you just did, I say that in inverted commas, with the air quotes, because it's, if you haven't had a break from booze in a while, an entire month, it's a huge achievement and something to be incredibly proud of. Even just the odd week, the odd weekend here and there, be proud of yourself, because it's no mean feat when you're not used to doing that, and you're learning. And so February, well, the question is, you know, how do you feel? What did the month bring you? And what was hard? What could you work on? What could you challenge yourself to do more of? I mean, how much change happened, and what do you want to bring with you?
Yeah, I love that, because it's so important to reflect back. So, you know, that study by the University of Sussex in 2009, and all of the things that it said that people would have experienced in dry January, you know. So, like, they have a huge amount of people have more energy, they've lost weight, they've more money, they've an increased sense of accomplishment, they feel less inflamed, less bloated, more energy, vitality, all those kind of things. So, like, if that happened to you, but also if it didn't, you know, so we all know that it takes a good couple of weeks for our brains to recalibrate, to come back down to balance, for all of the ups and downs of all of our neurotransmitters to get kind of back to normal. You know, it mightn't be the all bells, all whistles, all singing and dancing, you know, that you might have expected from it. But that's okay too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you've got to focus on the fact that you have removed this substance from your body, from your brain, from your life, for whatever amount of time. And like I said, I mean, that's no mean feat in an alcohol-soaked world, you know, where it's all around you and everybody, in inverted commas again, everybody drinks, but it's like it's so omnipresent, you know. And I think we need to, we're more focusing on, you know, when we haven't, like like all the performative, you know, sobriety that we see like on social media and, you know, on Instagram and all that. I lost 65 kilos over dry January. That's another subject. But anyway, we'll start on that. And, you know, and I look fabulous and I'm up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I'm jogging and I'm doing a marathon in April and the whole thing, like it's very, you know, we're constantly comparing ourselves to that and judging ourselves for not feeling that way. And, you know, that sort of, I should be feeling better now. I should be, you know, have more energy and I should be, you know, out jogging every morning, whatever. And, you know, doing yoga on a hilltop, you know, and things like that. So we're very judgmental, you know, of ourselves.
Absolutely. And you know what? That brings to mind, I'm on another, you know, I do a huge amount of coaching, like I'm coached a huge amount myself. And I was on one recently with Jen Crawford. She was on this as well on the podcast. And she had, we did a journal and reflection last night and it really hit home. And it's what basically the prompt was, name what is enough for you. And it feeds right into what you're saying. So like, I don't know, maybe this is the collective consciousness that we're all just feeling. Maybe it's what social media has done. It's the hangover of it, that we all feel behind, so that none of us, you know, if you're not like a size 8 and you look like a glam or whatever, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like what is enough for me? Do you know?
Exactly.
And I had to write down, well, what is it? I had to ask ChatGPT. That's how I was like, ChatGPT, what's enough for me? And they gave me loads of prompts or whatever. And I was like, yeah, okay. But like, do I feel like I'm doing enough? No, Suze. And that's probably the point, isn't it? So when do we kind of engage with like that level of self-compassion? How do we turn that back on ourselves? Like, because we're all rushing and racing and life has become nearly unbearably busy. And especially if you're oversensitive and stuff. So when do we know when enough is enough for us?
Well, maybe just the very fact of asking that question, when is it ever going to be enough? you know, is that time to take a wee step back and say, like, look back on January, if we're talking about this, you know, look back on January and look at where you were on the 31st of December.
Yeah.
Did you think you would get through, get through January without drinking or, you know, going to that Saturday night, whatever, and not having, you know, a half bottle of wine? You know, Can you look at that? Like, I mean, there's no right answer, is there? Can you look at that and say, like, wow, I did that. Isn't that brilliant? And I have that now. You know, and can that be enough for right now, this very minute? You know, and then it, yeah.
And had you done a couple of dry Januaries before?
Never did them. Never did them
Okay.
yet. No, couldn't
Wow,
face
that's
it. Sounded like absolute torture to me. I
okay.
was like, why would I want, how, like, what am I supposed to do? Just sitting home and not at home and not drink wine? Like, why would I do that to myself? You
Isn't
know, so it's that, you know, Sergeant Major thing again, you know, stop drinking or dry January, you know. And I was like, no, I'm not having any of that.
Okay.
But you know, like as I'd said before, you know, the wheels come off at some stage, you know, when it's all too much, and you know, perimenopause, you know, work, kids, the whole thing, you know, it's all too much, and wine is just throwing, you know, like it's just lighting this big fire of destruction around you know, for your mental
Absolutely.
health and your physical health and all of that. So, but like I never, like January was just, it just felt, dry January just felt too much for me, you know. So that's why I'm very, like the overwhelm of, you know, being enough. I have to, it has to be enough, and that, you know, but it doesn't feel like it's enough. And we're always like, yeah, like you said, we're grasping at something else. So it's difficult to do, but like I feel like, you know, the way for things to feel enough is to like take a step back and stop thinking about, you know, the future all the time. Stop thinking about forever all the time, and like, you know, the rest of my life. And sit for a bit in, you know, what have I done? You know, what have I learned? How have I grown? You know, what's the difference between now and, you know, this time last year?
Yeah,
You
amazing.
know, I have more
And
enough enoughness.
yeah, and it's funny because you say like that fear of forever, and that's a very consistent stumbling block that I come across when I work with people. It's like,
Absolutely.
Olivia, I can't say forever. Like, what about the wine? What about all the vineyards, Olivia? And like, I was one of them. I'm like, what about the vineyards? The vineyards can, stay big vineyards. But like, so that's a real stumbling block for people, isn't it? So how do you say no forever to the weddings? Like when our kids get married, am I not going to have a glass of champagne to toast them? Or do you know what I mean?
Oh,
Coming up further down the line.
that's a big one. People still say that to me, like, but you're not even going to have a glass of champagne when, you know, one of the kids gets married. And I'm like, oh my goodness. In this imaginary wedding, you know. But I mean, you know, forever, is there any, it's so black and white, and yes and no, and all or nothing with alcohol. That does, like, forever is such, there's so much pressure in that word. You know, I mean, is there anything else? I don't know. Apart from like marriage that you go into, hopefully, excited to spend the rest of your life, to spend forever with this person. But like when you go into like the not drinking and you do it in terms of forever, it's like, well, what you just said, it's like this awful kind of, oh, the rest of my life stretching ahead of me with no wine, no champagne, no vineyards, and all that. So like, why put that pressure on yourself? Nobody said you have to commit to forever. Like it's all a very personal journey when it comes to alcohol. If the word forever makes you go, oh, and you can't breathe, then committing to forever maybe isn't right for you right now, and you need to like commit to another month. If that feels doable, another week, if that feels doable, you know, it's hard because that's the way we're kind of wired, you know. We have to think of forever. But
And I think kind of some mindfulness practices, but that might help us kind of come back into the moment. I know I'm using a rose quartz stone at the minute just to bring myself back to kind of consciousness, because I'm working on three goals at the minute. It's like I'm a puke. Like, forgive me, right? Could I be more mainstream here? But like, it's protein, cleaning up my diet. I feel very inflamed at the minute. So it's protein, it's water, and it's steps. Like, and if I know the three things, but look at those three things when I go to bed at night, if I can tick three measly little boxes, then I have a level of peace within me that it feels good not to have to berate myself for not achieving them. So even just little pockets throughout the day that we can even have like a little kind of touch or worry stone or whatever that we it reminds us, okay, this is why I'm doing that. So we have that kind of nearly like visual tag that we're using to remind ourselves of our goals that we set them, you know. So people could use stuff like that. Have you ever used anything like that?
Absolutely. I used to have a little stone in my pocket with alive written on it. Haha, a stone with alive. And I had it in my pocket, and it was my little, you know, if I was in a having a craving for wine, or if I was like, you know, whatever, having a meltdown, I had this little stone too, like this little physical thing that you look at, that you feel, that you touch, to take you out of that, to bring you back into the real world and out of your head, you know.
Yeah,
I think it's important. And there's this sort of little, I mean, you know what you were saying there about your three things, and you do that every night, but have you felt the need to say, right, I'm going to do this forever, that's it, my steps, my water and my protein, forever and ever?
I've done it for one day, Suze.
Good job, Olivia.
Yesterday.
Good job.
I felt a million bucks going to bed.
You see, you're just like, you're keeping it in the here and now. And this is what it's doing for me right now. And tomorrow I'm going to see how I feel. And I probably will feel better for doing it tomorrow as well. But like, you know, in 2032,
Will I have my little rose quartz in my pocket in 2032? Who knows? You know what? This is TMI, but you're looking at the queen of TMI at the minute. But I recently had a vomiting bug, right? And I pride myself on having this incredible immune system and I never get sick, right? But so I started feeling nauseous and I was like, what's this? I didn't know. And then one of the friends that we had been kind of at a little spa at the weekend texted into the group and said, I have a vomiting bug. So I got a vomiting bug, right? So I was in ribbons. Absolute ribbons, right? The whole lot. You know what a vomiting bug is. I don't have to explain even more. But the gas thing was, it was, so I was a vomiter with a hangover, right? So they were exactly the same, right? Exactly the same. The only thing, so I was able to compare and contrast what it was like to vomit or to be in bed for like 24 hours, literally weak as a little newborn kitten, right? To now in 2026 or in 2017, 2018, when I was, you know, so sick. And there was no comparison. So I was physically like in bits. So that's what a hangover made me. But I was able to sleep in the bed and, you know, relax and let it go out of me with no guilt, no nothing, right? I just had to get through it, as opposed to what it was like 8 years ago, when I would have that compounded with guilt and shame and self-beration and loathing and apathy and all of these horrendous feelings. And it was just, I just think it was such a reminder of, oh my God, like, you've come so far. And, you know, it just felt like such a pivotal moment. I also think as well that I love an out purge. So I think it has reset me in some kind of way, you know. But that has, again, as if I need anything to kind of compound my decision now. But like, to think that little old Olivia in her 30s used to get those, and it had to be coupled with all that self-beration. And, you know, we don't need to do that, do we?
No. And that comes back to, you know, that's the language we use with ourselves when we're drinking, you know. Yeah. And what I was saying about, you know, well done, congratulations on whatever, you know, whatever days you didn't drink in January, you know, it's like, well done, you know. And, you know, we can take that with us into February. you know, we can do the same, we can do more, and we can like switch it from the judgment of I didn't do all the weeks of January, whatever, to like more of the compassion and understanding. Well, of course you didn't do all the weeks in January because such and such happened, or you were overwhelmed with something, or, you know, you were sad, or there was this party, and you don't have all the tools yet. Under, yeah, exactly. You don't have all the yeah. tools yet. You're learning the same as the rest of us. Like, yeah.
Yet. Exactly. Like Meghan Markle, you know, yet. Do you remember that interview she did? But it's reframing our mindset. And, you know, it's not that I failed. It's like maybe I reached capacity. Maybe my window of tolerance was so narrowed that I couldn't deal with anything. You know, maybe I had no money in the bank. I had the credit card bill came in. I wasn't paid until whatever. Like, it is such a stressful time. So I think what we're really saying here is what we probably say every week is that self-compassion, allowing yourself to be good enough to be normal, you know, because I think probably a lot of people who do tend to overdrink are perfectionists and have to have things perfect all the time, you know. So I think, yeah, moving away from that perfectionism is definitely definitely something we need to do, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And stop, like, what does the Americans say? Stop shooting all over ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
With the if we can't do it perfectly, let's not do it at all. And women especially, I think, you know, we're like kind of, you know, conditioned, socialized maybe to, like, you know, have to always get it right and do like you said, do it. It's never enough. Do more, you know, yeah, and that sort of, you know, well, if I didn't get the whole of January perfectly alcohol free, then what's the point in doing February? Like, it's not going to be perfect. That sort of thing. And it's another way of you know, letting go of that, if you can, is another way of being more compassionate with ourselves, you know, more understanding, and talking to ourselves like we would a friend, you know, rather than, you know, the drill sergeant.
Yeah, it's in our head. Mine is a particularly nasty one. No, it's awful. Yeah, always has been. I'm trying to do a lot of work on that as well. But, like, you know, I suppose as humans, generally, we're kind of always moving away from discomfort and towards comfort, or moving away from pain and towards pleasure. And, like, you know, even knowing, even having the language to put on that, like, what am I doing here? So we're always, I know, you know, January's literally the most depressing hellhole like ever, right? So, like, the weather is atrocious, like we said, there's no money, there's nothing to look forward to, really, like, the days are so long and dark, and, you know, so, like, how can the little bit of pleasure that we might have, you know, and I think probably a lot of people associate winter time with glasses of red wine in front of the fire and all that kind of stuff as well. So, you know, any tips there for kind of moving away from discomfort, or how do we sit in discomfort?
I mean, discomfort, like, if every time there's a bit of discomfort, we throw something else on it. Mm-hmm. So, it's like, you know, discomfort, you know, difficult emotions, or even like the joyful emotions, we're always, you know, have to throw something like a glass of wine on them to be able to cope with them. And it's like, I'm always like trying to, you know, my poor kids, all these analogies, like, you know, it's the beach ball at the beach, you know, the more you push it down and ignore it, you know, try and make it go away, you're going to get tired and it's going to just pop up and smash you in the face, you know. And it's the same with us and our, like, you know, discomfort, you know, strong emotions and things like that. We put, you know, push them down into a vat of Merlot or something, you know, and then it's going to come up and even stronger. And discomfort and difficult emotions, and this is something I am still very much learning, you know, it's all temporary. It's, you know, it's doable and it's feelable. I mean, if you broke your finger, it would hurt, and you would have pain and you'd be like, oh my God, my finger, I can't stand it, whatever. But you know, your finger's going to get better. Yeah. You know, you're going to care for your finger. You put a splint on it and, you know, you keep it out of harm's way and it will get better. It'll feel better. And it's the same with our discomfort. Like, you know, the allowing it to actually exist, you know, the those moments where you're like, I could just throw a bottle of wine at this. Or those, even like, you know, not even just the difficult things, like like we love to throw wine at everything, like the joyful times, that, you know, the parties, the weddings, the vacations, the what have you. It's like, it's almost like, you know, our emotions are just so intolerable that we have to kind of dumb them down all yeah. the time, whether they be difficult or, you know, the, in, you know, in inverted commas again, the good emotions that are that we have. And like the discomfort of not drinking, the more we feel that, I think, and the more we can ask ourselves, like, well, why does it feel so uncomfortable? If you've already done, you know, a certain amount of time, especially like and you're thinking about going into February without drinking, like, it's not, you know, it's not the alcohol leaving your system. It's some emotion or situation that feels so uncomfortable, and sort of addressing that. Yeah. And like just asking the simple question, well, what is it about this situation that is so like intolerable for me? What is it? And like allowing that to actually exist.
Yeah. And learning to name the emotion, that's a huge yeah. part of it. You know, well, what is it that I'm feeling? You know, and even that little line of self-inquiry, right? But what do I need instead of that glass yeah. of wine? Like, who do I need to hug? Like, do you mm-hmm. go run out in the street and just start hugging strangers or trees or whatever? So like, and again, when our needs are being met. So like, again, you know, I always mention Maslow's hierarchy of needs on this, but like, where do we get what we need? So in terms of love and safety, belonging, esteem, all those kind of things, like keeping that kind of forefront to our mind, like what do I need in this moment? Do you know? And how, none of us really know, but like sometimes, and especially when I was sick, like I just needed the bed. And thank God I had the facility that, like, when Gary came home or whatever, I was absolutely diving into that Lecky B, right? The electric blanket, right? And I mean, it scorched the sickness out of me, but I was just allowed to be sick, and that was fine. I don't know, there's an analogy there, Suze, isn't there? Just allowing to sweat the shit out of you, literally. And you know, just to be. Which is kind of what we were talking about a little while ago as well.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. That like, of course. Well, of course, you know, of course you needed that because you felt sick, you know. Yeah. And it's like, of course you need a rest. Like you said, January sucks, yeah. And we come into January exhausted after like the break of Christmas. Like, I had a day. My God, I had a day because we went from France to Donegal, and I had a day where I said, this is my day off. Like, I'd organized everything, you know, the managed everybody's expectations and emotions of the whole shebang. And I was, you know, of course, didn't like allow myself to notice that I was actually very tired at this stage. And I had this one day off, and I was like, this is like day off, not a job, like, but, you know, day off where there was nothing planned. We're going to do nothing. And I was like, I'm just going to sit and I'm going to look out the window with a cup of tea and a bar of Cadbury's, something. Yeah. And just, you know, enjoy being home and stuff. And everybody, I don't know what it was, everybody from the moment they got up in the morning was like, where's my na-na-na? Have you seen my na-na-na? What are we doing? Are we not doing anything today? What are we doing tomorrow? And they're like, and he did that, and she did that. And I said, I was in the kitchen. I said to my husband, oh my God, I can't answer one more question. I cannot think about anything else. Like, I'm done. I'm full. And bless him, he was there. And he, there was a bathroom towel on the kitchen counter. And I saw him look at it and I was like, oh my God. And the hand went out and he picked up the towel and he said, where do you want me to put this? And I was like, oh, you are kidding me. What?
You have a death wish.
What? And I told him exactly what I wanted, but I can't repeat it on this podcast. But it's just like just that example of like the overwhelm, the fatigue, the like I just am at capacity. Yeah.
Exactly. And formerly, probably, what would you have done in that overcapacity?
I would have hit the fridge for a glass of wine. Yeah. And that was it. But I was like, and sure, I exploded. And, you know, it's the like the whole sobriety thing again. It's like, you know, you have going to feel like you're going to be this Zen queen floating on a cloud of, you know, zenitude all the time. And you shouldn't be like losing your temper or, you know, feeling overwhelmed or whatever it is. But we're just human, you know. Yeah. And I was tired and I hadn't acknowledged the fact that I was tired and I hadn't done anything about being tired, like in terms of rest or actually saying to people, like, you know what, I'm a bit tired, I need a break. And it's simple, like it's simple things like that. We don't say what's going on. We just muscle on through, same as like dry January. And then, so no wonder the thought of like muscling on through February, you know, can sound, you know, the least attractive thing in the world. Like, so it's really like, I just think it's like, keep it simple and back to basics. And like you said, you were sick, you needed the bed, you needed a nice warm bed. You're tired, you need a rest.
Yeah.
You know, you need to drink a liter and a half of water. You need to like look at the sky every now and again and like take the eyes off the phone and the computer. And I'm sure now I've forgotten what your actual question was because I've gone off on a rant.
So have I. What made me kind of realize there, it's to get the pillars right. So to get the foundations right. And, you know, we talk about this all the time here, but it's the sleep. To make sure that you're getting enough sleep. To make sure that you're hydrated. That maybe you're eating well, that makes you feel well, right? So maybe, you know, all the kind of protein and the veg and enough fiber as well, so everything's moving out of our body, that maybe we incorporate that little bit of movement. So like YouTube, a few yoga poses, you know, get out into nature. If you have a dog, cuddle them. So it's to kind of just make sure that the basics are right and that we're able to then, again, what I always talk about again, widen that window of tolerance and our capacity to cope. Because sometimes our capacity is so depleted because how horrendous the world is or whatever at the minute. So like, you know, we just, if you make sure that those kind of pillars are right, then you're kind of going on the right track, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, it's like we're taking out the wine, but the wine's going to, or the alcohol, whatever your drink of choice is, it's going to leave a gap there.
Yes.
And if we don't fill that gap with what makes us feel good, then we're running on pure willpower, which, as we know, is not going to last. You know, berating yourself and, you know, I need more self-discipline, it just isn't going to hack it. And then this is when people, like, you know, the forever words start thinking, I can't do this forever, this sucks. Like, but if, like, little by little and week by week and weekend by weekend, we're testing out those things that make us feel better. Like you said, the food and the hydration and getting out for a walk, looking at the sky for 5 minutes. Like, I am a great believer in like the 5 minutes, that just take 5 minutes, because I, for so many years, I just plowed on through. And like a break of 5 minutes to look out the window at the sky and drink a glass of water, you know, does absolute wonders, you know. And it's these little things that you put them in regularly into that like gap or hole or whatever you want to call it, that the wine filled up for so long, you know, that that we talk about the jobs it had, you know. So you know, the wine, it took care of, you know, the overwhelm or the boredom, or, you know, like all those things. And there's so many other things we can do, but you have to kind of try them out.
Absolutely. And that's the bit that I remember from our last podcast. It was the gap. So when the wine did everything, when it comes out, what do we fill it with? And that kind of blew my mind, because we have to become the person who's able to do all of these things, you know? And of course, there's going to be a dip between removing alcohol and then us getting used to that massive change. And I think that's what people don't expect. Like, we all have to adjust. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's a really important kind of thing to remember. Like, you might feel low, or you know, it mightn't be flat, but that's only for a little while. The pink cloud may or may not come, but life will and does get better. So you just need to give it time and space.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's our whole being. It's like the body and the brain and the mood and the, like, you're just your daily, what you do on a day-to-day basis. And like, when wine, I keep saying wine because that was what I used to drink, like, but you know, with the alcohol, affects every single part of your life when you think about it, like every part of it. And so when you take that out, it's like you take that away, you're like, you've got to, I don't know, fluff up those parts of your life and your body and your brain, and that had all the booze.
And was there any particular times with you where you felt, oh God, I'm lovely and confident? Can I give you one with me? Which was, so I was asked to go on Drive Time, you know, that like the RTÉ radio show, right? And it was like I was having an out of body. It was a couple of months ago, right? And I didn't really talk about it. I just wanted to experience it by myself. Does that make sense? So I drove into RTÉ and I went on live radio with somebody from, like, let's say, an opposing point of view from my point of view, right? And what I felt about myself in that moment, I was so unfazed, right? It was like, I'm a normal person, right? I have a normal job, I have a normal life. I'm not a broadcaster, I'm not anyone, I'm just Joe Soap, right? Ordinary as ordinary is, who did something out of the ordinary and gave up alcohol. But to watch that growth, my God, that really pleased me. To watch myself go in and just not be nervous, not even be sick. And I was like, that's when I know I've kind of reached a level of confidence that I want, you know. Like, I'm not perfect in that in any other ways, or do you know what I mean? But that was a real milestone, watershed moment where I was like, shit, this is nice. It feels nice.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it,
Go ahead, sorry.
no, any watershed moments for you where you thought, even a wedding, even, you know, I was out for dinner with university friends, right, last, and like, we met 28 years ago, right? So it's not today or yesterday, but I felt so comfortable. I wasn't in any way awkward. I wasn't in any way, do you know what I mean? I was able to keep up with the crack, do you know? So like,
That's
all of
amazing.
these things make us, and they're kind of progress. They're works in progress.
Yeah, absolutely. But I guess you think it, like, you're always waiting to be ready, waiting to be confident, waiting to be motivated. And it's the actual doing of the stuff that builds the confidence and that keeps you motivated. And it's the, like, going out with your friends on a Saturday night, or going out for dinner and not drinking. Do it once, you can do it again, you know. And it's that quiet, slow building of the confidence and the habit of doing it. And then next thing, you find yourself on Drive Time.
I know. Or
You're
like,
listening to millions of people.
an L dose with a podcast.
No, but it's amazing. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, I think for me, it was a slow, because I think I said this to you before, a terribly shy person, and like very, like, lacking in confidence. And so just even like something like the fact of talking to you today, like 6 years ago, the thought of that would be like, are you kidding me? Not at all. I couldn't do that, you know. And to know that, you know, people might will listen to this, do you know? And that fear of, you know, judgment, and, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about, and, oh God, listen to her, and all that sort of stuff, you know. But that's like, the more you do things that feel uncomfortable, the more you do, you have this discomfort, the easier it is to get over yourself. And
absolutely,
you know,
and it's all just practice.
Yeah.
And it's not that some people are more skilled or better or anything. They're just maybe more practiced.
Yeah.
I love
It's
that.
It's the doing it
The
builds
doing
the
it.
confidence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and it's all like, it's all a process. Like, there's no end
There's no
destination,
end.
whatever it is. Yeah, you're
There's
supposed to.
not. There really isn't.
Yeah.
Lose the booze with Suze.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts for our listeners? Like, any nuggets that have really stayed with you over the last kind of 6 years? Anything that you're kind of burning to tell people?
Oh, I repeat myself over and over. I'm like a broken record. I'm just like, I think, you know, you were talking about this, like February and what to do now, and carrying on the whole alcohol-free adventure is, I think, just like, do it for tonight. Do it for the weekend. You know, focus on your achievement, like you're doing it. Like, even if you don't want to do it, you don't feel like doing it, like, this sucks, whatever, just do it. You
Just
can
do
do
it.
It. You did it already, you know.
Exactly.
You can
I love
do it.
It.
And, you know, again, nobody's saying forever.
No.
You know.
I'm saying forever. And
yeah.
You're probably saying forever now at this stage. I know. But it, like you said, it's a process. I had to get through the process for forever.
Yeah. If forever works for you, then that works. You know, it's
Yeah.
what you, again, with the comparison and trying to be like, you know, the other people on socials or whatever. You know, if forever doesn't work for you, then don't
That's
go
okay.
forever. You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Susan, where can people find you if they want to work with you or if they want to look at some of your hilarious reels?
Oh, thank you. Now I'm on Instagram at Lose the Booze with Suze. And I started writing on Substack as well. So it's,
that's stunning.
Yeah, well, it's a real little by little. And sure, anybody can reach out to me and send me a message or leave me a voicemail, whatever.
Gorgeous.
Chat.
And actually, it's funny because I view Substack as lovely and highbrow with incredible writers. So well done you going on to Substack. Amazing.
Thanks,
Olivia. No More Booze, the podcast, is produced, mixed and mastered at the studios of Irish Audio Drama. For more information, visit irishaudiodrama.com.